And God bless you. John chapter 4 this morning. John chapter number 4. We're preaching through the book of Matthew, but I'm taking a sidelight from that this morning. For Father's Day, I want to preach a special message here, specifically to the men, but all of us can get some help from this, no question about it. John chapter 4, verse number 46. John 4, 46. The Word of God says, "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. They said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house." If you mark your Bible, there's a phrase in verse number 46. It's this phrase, a certain nobleman whose son was sick. A certain nobleman whose son was sick. If you'll see it, he's a daddy. He's a father. And we're going to put him under a spiritual microscope and bring several thoughts out about him from these verses. Father, we love you. Help us today. May the will of God be done in our midst. Forgive our sins. Help me to be clean. May you be pleased and praised and proclaimed here, I pray. If somebody's here that's lost, may today be the glorious day where they accept you as Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. The total number of children living in fatherless homes has risen to nearly 24 million, and this is an old statistic that I'm giving you. Nearly 4 out of 10 children in America are being raised in homes without their fathers. And it's said here that soon it'll be 6 out of 10, and it may even be bigger than that now. Almost 75% of American children living in fatherless households will experience poverty before the age of 11, compared to only 20% of those raised by two parents. Children living in homes where fathers are absent are far more likely to be expelled from or drop out of school, develop emotional behavioral problems, commit suicide, and fall victim to child abuse or neglect. The males are also far more likely to become violent criminals. As a matter of fact, men who grew up without dads, this is an old stat now, this is back in the night, like 1997, this is old. Men at that moment, the men who grew up without dads currently represented 70% of the prison population serving long-term sentences. Think about that. Now, I say this to let people know that there's a greater disaster taking place in our homes than this. And that disaster is dads who are living in that home, who live in such a way that gives a clear message to their children that God's not really all that important. I wonder this morning, if you're a father, are your children growing up without a dad who teaches them the ways of Almighty God? Are you a father like this certain nobleman who had his boy that was sick? I want to look into this text and bring out some things about this daddy. He's called a certain nobleman whose son was sick. He's a daddy, and I want to put him under the spiritual microscope because there's several things he did that every person really can learn from, but specifically daddies today. In other words, as we come to this text, we see that this certain nobleman's son was sick and at the point of death. And what we see is things didn't look great. He was carrying a very heavy burden. Friends, listen to me. When you look at your children in the face, I'll guarantee you that you would wish 1,000 times that sickness would hit you a whole lot sooner than it hit your children. This man sick is ready to die right here. His boy is sick to the point that he's getting ready to breathe his last breath. This being the case, I want to show you what kind of a daddy he was. What kind of a father was he? And every father can learn from this. But let me remind you, just in case you're sitting here and you're not a father, or you're a lady, you're a female. It's kind of hard to be a father if you're a female, you know what I'm saying? Of course, in today's culture, who knows what people call themselves? Amen. And it's still wrong because it is the Word of God. It is one man, one woman for one lifetime. Somebody say amen right there. I'm telling you that we see from this man's life several things that we can point out in our own lives. Simple thoughts today. And I want you to put yourself under the microscope and say, is that me? Is that like me? Does that summarize me? Number one, here we go. First of all, he went to Jesus. We see this in verse 47. Look at it. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him. You know one of the greatest things a father can do in his household is go to Jesus in time of trouble. You know what the word went means? It means he went off at once. It means as soon as he heard Jesus was there, he didn't think about it, he didn't pray about it. At once he went and got to Jesus. This means there was no hesitation. He immediately went to the Lord to lay out his request. Now, every man here can identify with this. Men try to be the answer to every situation and circumstance. They really do. There's a lot of pride in a male's heart. I say that because I be one. You know what I'm saying? Fathers sometimes, now get this. Fathers sometimes think it's a sign of weakness to ask for help. But a godly daddy realizes he can't do it alone. He needs Jesus. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The bottom line is we need fathers today who go to Jesus Christ. He went to Jesus, number two. He besought the Lord. We see this in the same verse, verse number 47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Look at verse number 49. Then the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. In other words, he's saying, Lord, I know you're the only answer to this. Please hear me. Please come and please answer this prayer. The word besought here means that he entreated him, he prayed him, he desired him, he requested him, he asked him, he begged him. See, this man not only went to Jesus, but he also laid his desire before the Lord and literally begged for the help of God. He was very fervent in this, and he was very faithful in this. Psalm 62 verse 8 says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See, this man asked God for his help, but he didn't ask him with a passive heart. He asked him with such a burden on his heart that he knew Jesus was the only one that could answer it. What I'm saying to you is this father had a son whose sickness was getting ready to kill his son. And he knew that the one that could answer his son's need, the only answer that was available at that time, there was no other answer, there was no other cure. I'm telling you that he realized if his son's going to live, Jesus is going to have to do it. Let me ask you a question. How serious would you be at that moment? You know what I'm guilty of? Praying passively. Praying, but praying without heartfelt prayer. Going through the motions is what I'm saying. And all I'm telling you this morning is that this man, he had such a need on his heart that he went to Jesus and he begged God for his help. He begged God. See, one of the interesting things about the word besought here, that word besought, when you look it up, it carries the idea that he kept it up. He kept it up. He kept it up. In other words, he didn't just go and say, Jesus, please come. That word besought means he refused to stop. He kept going and kept going and kept going. Even when Jesus was testing his faith, he said, please, please don't tell me no. Please come with me. See, he was fervent. He was faithful in his prayer life. Let me ask you a question. All of us, if you're saved, but specifically daddies, specifically fathers, let me ask you a question. How much time did you pray this week? You know what prayer life really is? It's showing God that you depend on him. The fact of the matter is this, I don't know any man here, I know no man here that would ever point his finger in God's face and say, I don't need you. But can I say this? When we don't pray, that's exactly what we're doing. We're saying, I don't need you, God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know what we need? We need Christians, but specifically we need fathers who go to Jesus faithfully and go to Jesus fervently. A little girl asked her daddy one day, said, Daddy, is God dead? And he said, no, why do you ask? She said, because I never hear you talking to him anymore. You know, children just put it on the bottom level, don't they? We should make sure our children can never say this about us. I'm not talking about you go through the house just so your kids hear you. Oh, God, hear my prayer. I'm not saying that. But they ought to know that you're a praying daddy. And they ought to know that you're a praying mother. Your husband ought to know you're a praying wife. Your wife ought to know that you're a praying husband. Do people know that you pray? I'm not saying that you shine a light on it because that's hypocrisy, that's Phariseeism. You understand what I'm saying to you, though. I'm telling you, be praying people. But we had a great Sunday school class. Glory. Hallelujah. It's one of them Sunday school classes that it's rare. It's rare, Brother Pendleton. God used you to start it off. God broke him today. He said, my cup's just overflowing. Can I share a word? He said, help yourself. He's weeping and crying, praising God for being his heavenly father, all this kind of stuff. And it broke loose in Sunday school this morning. It broke loose in there. God broke me. And hey, I taught for 10 minutes. Now, don't get used to that, friends. Well, it's about 12 or 13 minutes. But we prayed as a class. They were sharing special heartfelt prayer requests in Sunday school this morning. I mean, burdens that they had on their heart. God was going to hear and answer our prayers. Get in Sunday school. It was a great Sunday school class. But I'm going to tell you one reason it was is because the whole focus was turned on God. If a preacher ever gets up and tries to get people to look at him, he is outside of the will of God. This is not my church or your church. It's not even our church. It's his church. And he can do anything he wants to. God help us when the Holy Spirit shows up and he wants to change the order of service. God help us if we say, no, we're supposed to sing a special at that moment, God. Can you just be on hold just a minute? Whatever God wants to do, let him do it here. Let him do it. Amen. This man, this father, he went to Jesus, he besought the Lord, but number three, he believed the word of God. We see this in verse number 50. Notice it. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now, what did the man specifically ask Jesus to do? He said, come with me. Come. Jesus said, go. Your son's going to live. Notice what it says. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. This man wanted Jesus to come with him. God had another plan. And what he said, I'm not going to come with you. I'm just going to give you my word in this. That's what he did. He did not come. He just spoke a word. The man could have questioned the Lord at this time for not coming with him because after all, he said no to me. To my specific request, I asked him to come. He didn't come. He could have gotten mad and questioned, but he didn't. He didn't. The Lord said, I'm going to give you my word, go. And the Bible says the man believed what Jesus told him. You know what we need? We just need men of God and ladies of God who simply believe God. Whatever he says. You know, it's interesting when trouble hits that Satan tries to cast doubt on the Word of God. You ever had trouble in your life? What's one of the first things that the devil tries to do? I thought God said. I thought the Bible said. Where's your God now? You know what he's doing? He's trying to get you to doubt the Word of God. Can I say this to you? May I say this to you? The Word of God is true whether we believe it or not. He's going to keep his word whether I believe it or not. Jesus said in John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I've learned everything. Get this. I've learned everything true about God is true about this book. Is God holy? So is this book. Does God ever lie? Neither does this book. I'm telling you that the Word of God is a manifestation of the God of the Word. And we're saying that whatever he tells you to do, believe it and act upon it. This week, Titus chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, God who cannot lie. This week, I learned a great lesson. The Williams are sitting here. Right there they are. Todd and Tammy. Tammy called me and left me a message. I called her, and she couldn't come to the phone, so she called me, and I was on the phone with somebody else, so I finally called her, and we finally made contact. She said her little girl, Tabitha, precious little girl, beautiful little girl, put in a word with my son for her. You know what I'm saying? All this kind of stuff. I'm kidding. I'm kidding there. He already has his eye on somebody else. But anyway. And the Rourke's know who I'm talking about. Anyway, okay. What am I saying? You got me off track. Here's what I'm saying. She said her little girl wanted her to tell me a story. How old is she? What grade is she in? She's in first grade. First grade girl, okay? Now listen to this. Just talking about believing God. Just believe God. This little girl taught me a lesson this week. Her Sunday school teacher had gotten up and said, hey, anytime you find change in the parking lot, bring it to the house of God and give it to Jesus. Because, I mean, good night. It's not stealing it, because how in the world are you going to find who, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? Like out in the parking lot at Target or something like that. What are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? Bring it to the house of God. Give it to Jesus. So this little girl got a hold of that. And this week she started praying for pennies. Jesus, give me pennies. I'll bring them to your house. I may be getting some of this wrong, but anyway, you can focus with them. You'll get the main gist. Tammy said that they told her daughter, said, don't worry about it. Mom and Daddy will always give you a tithe. And she said, no, Jesus is going to answer my prayers before Sunday. He's going to give me pennies. That's what she's praying for, pennies. They pulled up shopping. This is one good thing about shopping, I guess. You know what I'm saying? They pulled up shopping, and the boys thought that they saw some change. So they pulled back. And in that parking space was 131 pennies. Not quarters, not dimes, not nickels, pennies. 131 of them. And she said that the whole time she's picking them up saying, pennies from heaven, pennies from heaven, pennies from heaven. First grade little girl, I heard that, and on the phone I said, God, give us childlike faith. Said she never doubted Jesus. Before Sunday, this is before Sunday, friends. It was this week. Before Sunday, Jesus opened the windows of heaven and poured out pennies. What's the point? Start praying for $100 bills, friends. That's the point right there. No, here's the point. You know what the point is? There's a little girl who believed God. And God was proving to her, you can trust me. Let me ask you a question. If God can answer a prayer with pennies, don't you think he can answer a prayer for your troubles? Believe God's word. Believe him. Doesn't stop there. The next thing he did, he not only believed the word of God, But number four, in verse number 50, the same verse, he obeyed the word of God. We see this in verse 50. Notice it. Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Jesus said, go, go. Thy son liveth. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke. And notice this. And he went his way. He obeyed. He obeyed the word of God. You know, it's one thing to believe the Bible. It's another thing to obey it. It really is. We need Christians, specifically fathers, because this is Father's Day. I'm not saying that fathers are more important than mothers, but I'm just on this day, specifically for fathers, but all Christians, we need Christians who will not only believe what God says, but then act on it. Obey it. Believe it. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Luke 11:28, but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? See, I wonder, is there any area of the word of God? Now, nobody's perfect, but is there any specific area in the word of God that you're not obeying God in? See, here's the point. And God is showing this to me over and over and over and over again. That God blesses obedience. Friends, listen to me. If you don't get anything else out of anything I ever say at all, if you could remember one thing, if I drop dead of a heart attack, if you could remember one thing I say, remember this: God blesses obedience. Remember that. I'm telling you that when it comes to salvation, when you do what the Bible says, God keeps His word and He blesses obedience. When it comes to soul winning, God blesses obedience. When it comes to Bible reading, God blesses obedience. If God tells you to do it, I don't care what it is, our answer should be, yes, sir, I'll do it immediately. He obeyed the word of God. Let me give you a fifth thing. There's only six of them. I'm plowing towards the end here, I think. Yes, six things. Number five. He not only obeyed the word of God, he trusted Christ as his Savior. We see this in verse number 53. When he was on his way home, his servants came out and said, your son's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And the Bible says what he said, it's very interesting what he said. He said, when did that start? When did he start getting better? And they said it was such and such an hour. And the Bible says he knew at that moment it was the same time Jesus told him he's alive. And notice what happened in verse 53. So the father knew it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. Notice this. And himself believed. And his whole house. What this means is that this father became a true child of God here. Let me simply say here that you can never be the father or the person that God has allowed you to be until you first of all are a true child of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you a question. Let's push all the dross out. Let's take all the garbage out. I'm not asking, have you ever prayed a prayer? I'm not asking, have you ever come forward in a church service? I'm not asking, have you turned over a new leaf? Have you been baptized? Have you joined a church? I'm not asking any of that. Forget all that stuff. I told a man, I believe it was this week. Weeks start running together for me. I told a man, I believe it was this week. I'm a Baptist pastor. But I'm going to look at you and tell you something. Whether you come to our church ever or not is not the issue. It's whether you make it to heaven or not. I'm going to ask you a question. Can you prove from the Bible that you're a true child of God? Can you take a Bible and prove that you have trusted Christ and Christ alone? Some people say, well, my mom told me I got saved. You better have somebody, something more than your mama's word on it. You better have God's word on it. This man trusted Christ. And what I'm saying to you is this, we need to know for sure that heaven is our home. You can be a father today who leaves a great estate. You can leave behind lots of money, on and it can go. But if you are not a child of God, you are leaving your children spiritually bankrupt. That's what you're leaving them. If you've never trusted Christ, trust Him today. You know, there was a bit of research. This is old too, but there was some research conducted by the Christian Businessmen's Committee, and they found the following. Now listen to this. When the father is an active believer, he's a believer and he's active in the church and he's living his Christian life, he's trusted Christ, he's not trusting a prayer, he's trusting Christ, Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, he has repented of his sin, he's received the Lord as his Savior, he's truly born again. When he's an active believer, if the father's that way, there's about a 75% likelihood that the children will also become the same. But if only the mother is a believer. Now, God's not limited. You understand what I'm saying? We're not trying to put God in a box here. But this is just research, you know, on percentage here. If the mother only is a believer, that likelihood drops from 75% to 15%. Now, again, you cannot put God in a box. There are some godly mothers who are raising their children for Jesus Christ. Praise God for them. But all I'm saying to you is that was never God's plan. God wants a father and a mother both saved, raising their children for Jesus Christ. And when they're both intact, there's a more likelihood that the child's going to trust Christ as their Savior. Interesting, isn't it? He trusted Christ. Let me give you the last thing here. Some of you live for that, don't you? To hear the pastor say, let me give you the last thing. Number six. Let me just go right back over this real quickly here. We're just looking at what he did. He went to Jesus. He besought the Lord. He believed God's word. He obeyed God's word. He trusted Christ as Savior. And number six, he shared his faith with his family. You say it doesn't say that. Really? Look at verse number 53. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus had said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Question, how'd they learn about it? How'd his household find out about the story? Who told them? It had to be Daddy. And all I'm saying to you is that no doubt this whole family trusted Christ because the witness of this father. You know, so many fathers are concerned for their children about socially how they grow up or financially are they going to be secure. But we need fathers today who gather their families around them and share their personal faith in Jesus Christ. Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Isaiah 38:19, the father to the children shall make known thy truth. Here's what I'm saying. Be a father who is full of faith, who shares his faith with his family. This little girl was blonde and beautiful. At the time of this story, she was only 3 years old. 3 years of age. And at 3 years old, this little blonde, beautiful little girl, she would climb into her daddy's lap and she would snuggle up with a wide, satisfied smile and she was overheard to say, this is my safe place. And so it was. And the man goes on to tell this story and says, dads, husbands, you are the safe place. You're our protector. You're our provider. And when you gather us for a time with God, we need a safe place. A safe place, not a lecture. A safe place, not a sermon. A very human dad or husband who simply cares about God and us. We don't need or even want a spiritual giant. It's like a child saying this, you see. We just want you. We need a gathering time where the phone's unplugged or cell phone turned off, where it's safe to say to each other, how are you and the Lord getting along? How can we pray for you today? We need a safe place to cry, to laugh, to sing, to rejoice, to challenge, to share, and sometimes to have no sentences at all, just our hearts are speaking to each other. An unfixed time, an unrigid moment, a unroutine, unshackled, where God has the last word. We need a gentleman leader, not a general. Gracious, relaxed, human. A family shepherd who exhibits not infallible authority, but a thirst for God. Thanks for listening, Dad. And remember, we need you. Written by your family. There are little eyes upon you, and they're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything you do. And a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll be just like you. You're the little fellow's idol. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicions ever rise. He believes in you devoutly, holds that all you say and do. He will say and do in your way when he's grown up to be like you. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You're setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be just like you. Another little poem goes like this. A teardrop crept into my eyes. I knelt on bended knee next to a gold-haired, tiny lad whose age was just past three. He prayed with such simplicity, "Please make me big and strong, just like Daddy, don't you see? Watch o'er me all night long. Jesus, make me tall and brave like my daddy next to me." This simple prayer he prayed tonight filled my heart with humility. As I heard his voice so wee and small offer his prayer to God, I thought these little footsteps someday my path may trod. Oh Lord, as I turn my eyes above and guidance ask from thee, keep my walk ever so straight for the little feet that follow me. Buoy me when I stumble and lift me when I fail. Guard this tiny bit of boy as he travels down life's trail. Make me what he thinks I am is my humble, gracious plea. Help me ever be the man this small lad sees in me. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 41 says this. As did their fathers, so do they unto this day. Proverbs 17, 6 says this. The glory of children are their fathers. And I ask you, Daddy, are you really your children's glory? If they grow up to be just like you, what will they be? I grew up playing sports. I love sports. I couldn't throw up a wiffle ball and hit it right now, probably, but I love growing up playing sports, specifically baseball, football, basketball, those three. But I'll be honest with you. Later in life, God has shown me some things. He's still using those things, this baseball camp and so on. But I'll tell you what I want for my children. Now, I'm just talking personally because this is me. This is how I grew up, and I'm talking about my own heart and life. It was an idol in my life. My dream was to be a Major League Baseball player. That was my dream. That's what I was living for and all of that. Nothing wrong with that if God's in it, you see. Nothing wrong with that if God's in it. But the Lord showed me going down through life. I blew my knee out in football. I've had a heart catheterization as a junior high school student. They thought they were going to have to put a pacemaker in me. They didn't have to do that, but they thought they were going to have tore that knee up, all these kind of things. I've got high blood pressure, low blood sugar, all these. And I look back on all these things, and the Lord has spoken to my heart and said, it's because I had another direction for you. I want you to do something else. I'm going to tell you something. All that really matters is the will of God. That's all that really matters. Are you in the middle of it tonight? And are you leading your children to find the will of God? Because that's what's going to carry them through this life. So I ask you, this certain nobleman whose son was sick, he went to Jesus, he begged God, he believed the word of God, he obeyed the word of God, he trusted Christ, and he shared his faith with his family. Does that sound like you? Or is there something you need to say, Lord, I failed in that, but I want to start today. May the Lord help us to see this, okay? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. I do pray for this precious group of people. And I pray, our Lord, that if there's one here who's not saved, that today will be the glorious day where they trust Christ. Today will be the day where daddies specifically stand to their feet and say, I'm going to lead my family in the ways of God. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Let me ask you, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Maybe you say, Jody, I know I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, I'm not trusting a church, I'm not trusting any. I'm trusting Christ and Christ alone. Maybe you know that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. Put your hands down. Is there somebody here today say, Jody, I don't know that, but I sure would love to be able to. I'd love to be able to raise my hand to that question. Is there somebody like that today? Would you be honest? Would you raise it now? Is there anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I need to make sure I'm trusting Christ. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. We talk to fathers just a minute. Is God speaking to you? Is He speaking to you about going to Him, begging Him for His help, believing His word, obeying His word, sharing your faith with your family? Is He speaking to you? Maybe you say, Jody, I'm a man and I'm a father. God is speaking to me. God is speaking to me. This doesn't mean you're not doing these things. It could mean that you already are, and God's just encouraging you to say, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. Whatever it is, you say, Jody, God is speaking to me about this, about being the father that He wants me to be. Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Be an honest person. God bless you. God bless you. God speaks to you in that way. Come talk to Him about it, friends. You should never be ashamed when God speaks to come forward and say, Lord, thank you for speaking. One thing that does, it helps others who know they need to come. Whatever it is, may the Lord help you. God help you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, take these thoughts and use them. Bless them in a mighty way. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you're being baptized today, if you'll go ahead and make your way and get prepared, we're just about through. And as Brother Mike begins to sing, as soon as he begins to sing, some have already responded, but as he begins to sing, would you leave your place and come as he sings?
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, while we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. May be seated.
you'll take your hymnals and you may remain seated. We'll turn to page 86 in the garden. Page 86.
Saved and knows it, and she's following the Lord in believer's baptism. Husband and children are here today. God bless them. I just told her, I said, I appreciate you doing the right thing. It's always right to do right. Amen. Have you happy for her? Say a big amen.
Amen.
Yes. She told me not to mess her hair up, so I didn't say anything to her, you know. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. It has been done as the Lord Jesus Christ has clearly commanded. And all of God's people say, amen. Be back tonight. We're going to be in a place called Gethsemane tonight. Holy ground. May the Lord bless it in preparation. Let's all stand together, please. We'll be dismissed in prayer. If you're a visitor, please take your card out to the Welcome Center. That'll be good. I'm going to ask Brother Mike Dotson, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice, please.